I don't know what church you go to. Actually, I do. I have a whole list of where your churches are. But I don't know what it looks like for you to go to church, but I'm pretty sure it didn't look like that on a Sunday morning where you guys go to church. You wish you looked like that every Sunday morning. I wish there was a worship leader crowd surfing through the crowd at my church every Sunday morning. That was awesome. That was awesome. And you guys are awesome. I was up there this morning and just looking down on the crowd and this weekend has been just really cool for me. I'll tell you my story here in a little bit, but my first thing I wanted to say to every single one of you in this room is just like, thank you. Thank you. And the reason for that is because you guys have been like utterly respectful this like whole time. Like I teach high school and middle school students. Like I'm pretty sure some of you were on your phones at some point. I just didn't catch you. But when I like teach high school kids, sometimes they're just like trying to check through their Snap stories and stuff like that. I'm like, Lee, I'm trying to tell you about something real awesome here. Why don't you just like tune in for a second? You guys were so attentive and so respectful, and that just brings joy to my heart, and that's been so cool because you guys think that this stuff really matters. And so that's been neat for me, and I'm just so thankful to God. I'm so thankful to God. And the reason why I'm so thankful, there's a lot of reasons why I'm thankful to God, but the thing that has just brought a lot of joy to my heart this weekend is that I've heard the name Jesus more than I've heard the name Joel Friend, and that's what I want more than anything else in the world, because I can't go back with you. Jesus goes with you. Jesus is the one that you need to cling to. He said, cling to me, remain in me, and I will remain in you. And that's brought me such joy to my heart this morning. And here's where I want to start us off, okay? Here's where I want to start us off. So last night, 20 minutes of silence, and in your cabin times, it seems that from what I heard, like things were real. Things were real, and they were real awesome. And you guys were having some really great conversations. And so what I want to do here in a second is I want to give the students who gave their lives to Jesus last night an opportunity to stand and recognize that they're going to stand with Jesus, all right? And I'll set that up here in a second. But if you're that person that gave your life either to Jesus last night, this morning, or if you're someone that's been wrestling with all day and you haven't yet and you want to, I want you to stand here in a moment. Here's why. It's interesting in Christian youth culture, there's this like, for some reason, this secretive thing that when someone gives their lives to Jesus, it's just like, hey, did you hear so-and-so gave their lives to Jesus? Like, shh, just be quiet. Do you know the Bible says that the like angels in heaven just like stood and sang because another person came to know Jesus? How do we not stand with the angels of heaven and celebrate? And oh, by the way, it's almost 2018, and we've become increasingly more a coming out culture. So I couldn't think of a better thing to come out to than to come out to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so for the students last night who already knew Jesus and they prayed for their friends, and they prayed for boldness as they go home, wonderful. The students who knew that they weren't where they were supposed to be and they prayed to come back, that is so wonderful. And to know that God loves you so much. And for those of you who are staying, I want you to know that you need to keep asking questions because Jesus matters. Jesus is who he says he is. And everything about his love for you is true. And you need to tap into that. And maybe right now you're a stayer, but right now in a moment you want to be a giver and you want to give your life to him. But here's what I'm going to say. If you were a person and last night gave their lives to Jesus for the very first time, you committed to follow him, that he's forgiven you of all of your sin, past, present, and future, and you cling to his finished work for you on the cross, I'm going to count down from 3, 2, 1, and then I just simply want you to stand up and recognize that you are going to stand with Jesus. 3, 2, 1. Let me see you stand. Remain standing. And I'll tell you why in a second. I'm going to say something to you guys. Your lives have just been changed forever. Your lives have been changed forever. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to point out to the people who brought you. I want you to point out to the people who brought you right now. Look at them, point them out. And I want them to stand with you right now. I want you to stand with your friends that you brought with you on this weekend. Whoever brought you, stand with them. Stand with them. And let me just say to you guys this. On Friday night, I told you a story of a group of friends who tried so desperately to get their friends to the feet of Jesus that they would fight through the crowds and all the distractions, and they would rip the roof off the place to get their friends to the feet of Jesus. Look what you've done. Look what you were a part of. I praise God for you guys right now, and to know that you guys made a difference, you can be seated. So when we sing the song, you are good, oh, oh. That's what worship leaders do when they run out of words in songs. They add the O's. Is that you see the goodness of God. Listen, I don't know all of these stories out there. Obviously you do and God does. But I imagine some of these stories have taken a long time to get to this point right here. And God is faithful and true. And there's people out there tonight who have not given their lives to Jesus. And I want to let you know your story is not done yet. There's still time. But the time does run out. So really think through those things and begin to think to yourself, is Jesus exactly who he says he is? The answer is yes. But will you give your lives to him? And that's where I wanted to start us this morning. That's a pretty good start this morning, if I don't say so myself. So, unfortunately, Laurelville's coming to an end. All right? Yes, you can all, and you all have to go back to school tomorrow. Yay, school. School's the best. Now, hey, I just wanna tell you my story. And you know, I've talked a lot this weekend. I've shared a little bit about myself, but I just want to tell you my story. I grew up in Erie, PA, and I grew up about 10 blocks from downtown. And when I was in sixth grade, I had this youth pastor, a pastor coming into my neighborhood, and he was starting up this youth ministry about three blocks away from my house. And so it was supposed to be for 7th through 12th grade, but all my friends are a little older, so he let me come along. And I was a kid who went to youth group my entire life. I mean, I was a youth grouper. I went to everything, on every mission trip, every youth camp, every Laurelville type thing. I attended almost on a weekly basis. I was involved so much. And I thought I actually had a relationship with God because I equated my attendance with my Christianity, right? And what's funny is that I was the only person in my household who went to church. The only person. I would wake up on a Sunday morning when I was in eighth grade and say, bye mom, bye dad, I'm going to church. I was totally like by myself in it. And what's interesting is that over the years, like I kept going back and more and more and more. And then when my youth pastor left when he was in when I was about to go into my senior year, I stopped going to youth group. And I realized in that moment that my faith was not built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, but it was built on my relationship with this guy named Pastor Matt. And so I just totally stopped going and all those sorts of things. And I realized that, like, I wasn't really living a life that, like, God, it was about God. I thought I was faking it, you know, like I mentioned last night. And then I went into my freshman year of college at Geneva College, which is a Christian college, by the way. So here's go GTs, go GTs. Do they still play the Imperial March whenever it's third down on defense in the marching band? Do they still play that? Do they have a new thing in the football games when it's third down? Or is it still the Imperial March? Dun, 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 dun. Is it new? Okay, good. So they retired it. Fantastic. It was like one of those things where they're just going to keep doing it anywhere. I don't know where I'm going with that. So I went to Geneva, and I was surrounded by all of these like Christian guys, and I felt like this like fish out of water. But when I was a sophomore, My summer before my sophomore year, I went like, I just, you know, I took a nosedive, and I thought, like, you know, there's no way that God could love me. And I was actually texting my friends this morning who were really formative in me coming to faith. And so these guys across the hall from me, John and Zach, looked at this guy who was seemingly unlovable, seemingly a mess. There's people that said I was like, I walked around like hostile towards things of God. But yet I got involved in this Bible study, and I had no idea what was going on. We're going through the book of Acts. People are falling out of windows, and there's tongues of fire over people's heads. I was like, what the crap is going on here? And so, but the one thing that was really impactful to me was at the end of every Bible study, we had a time where we, like, confessed our sins to one another. And that was weird because I never knew of, like, that being a thing. And I remember I just went back to the Bible over and over again. And I was in my room late in 2005, and it was like in October. I don't know the date. But I remember reading the book of James, and I read the last line. It says, you know, brothers, if you turn from the errors of your ways, you help to turn someone from the errors of their ways, they will be forgiven of their sin and over a multitude of unrighteousness. And I remember looking at it and saying, well, that's me. And I remember at this moment, I closed my Bible, and it was just me and God, and I said, and I recognized, like, everything that I'd ever done in my life, and I realized I'd fallen short of the glory of God, and I knew Jesus wanted to have me. And I remember saying, Lord, everything in my life I've ever touched has turned to dust. It's your turn now. It's your turn now. And that's what you guys have done this morning. You've said, I'm not doing my own way. I'm going to do Jesus' way, and that's the best way to go. And so that's my story. And then I became a youth pastor over time. And I remember, because a guy like PMAT poured into my life, I wanted to do the same for you guys. But the one thing for me is I could have, like, 12 years ago, there's no way what I would have ever envisioned that God would want to use me to do something like this. I can't get into all the details of how screwed up I was and how I still am. But I want to let you know that if God can use me, he will use you. If God can use a sinner like me, he can use somebody like you to make a difference. Because I'm not just a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace through Jesus Christ my Lord. And it's in him I put my trust. In him I put my rest. And I lean into him. Not my good works, but his finished work for me on the cross. And then by the Lord's grace, he has been able to form me and shape me. He's ripped open my heart and be able to fill. He's emptied me of myself and filled it with more of him. And that's the place that I'd want to be. And I am so grateful for you. And here's where I want to end this morning. Is to know that you can be used by God now. See, sometimes we think, like, oh, I'll just do the Christian thing later. No, 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 no. There are people in your school that need to know Jesus. There are people in your school that do not know Jesus. And now that some of you know Jesus, and a lot of you have known Jesus for a long time, you are responsible for getting your friends to the feet of Jesus. There's so much darkness in the place where you guys know. You know, I think about a school district like Pine Richland. A lot of you are involved in, you know, the tragedies that have taken place over the last several years with a lot of students taking their lives. There's darkness around you everywhere. You can be a light in a dark place. Do not hide your lamp under a shade, but remove it so the world can see that you love and you want to live for Jesus. You can start up an FCA at your school. You can open up a Bible study. You can do something where you're trying to get your friends to the feet of Jesus. You can make a difference now. I wish someone told me that when I was back in high school. You can make a difference now. You don't have to wait for 5-10 years down the road. You can make a difference now. And so I want to close with these words from Jesus and kind of unpack them a little bit as we go from there. And it comes from Matthew 28, and I'll read them. It says this. This is after Jesus had risen from the dead. Now he's sending out his disciples in the same way I send you. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. And you want to know what they did? They went. They went. And for you guys, you get to go. And what does Jesus ask you to do? He says, go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them. And Jesus says, in that I will be with you always. See, sometimes we leave Laurelville And we forget that God is not at the sign waving goodbye to you as you leave. He goes with you. He is with you wherever you go. Look at what he says. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God, guys, he is with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to make a difference through you and for him. That a life with Jesus is a life that matters. A life with Jesus is a life that matters because it lasts. See, all of this stuff that we try to like hold on to in our lives, it crumbles like ashes at the end of time, right? So when Jesus comes back and he sets everything right, there's so much stuff that we want to hold on to and we want to matter in our life that really doesn't matter at all. There's this Twitter account. It's called Christmas Movie Facts, all right? It is your place for the best Christmas movie facts and trivia. It's got about 1,900 followers. I have a slight confession to make. I am the guy with the Christmas Movie Facts account.
Oh my God.
My double life is coming out. Does anybody here actually follow this account? Almost seriously? This is me. What's your name? This is so funny. 1,904 followers. There's one in this room. That's hilarious. So here, there's two. Where's the other one? You follow it too? There's three. Oh my gosh, four? Well, you just guys just start following it right now. When you're on your bus on the way home and you're on your phones, go to at Xmas Movie Facts and start following me. I could get up to about, there's about 400 of you in here, so I could get up, you know, get up somewhere around 2,300 by the end of 2 o'clock, okay? So that's where we can be at. Now, I put out a tweet a couple weeks ago, and this is the tweet, okay? I said, enough of the spooky stuff, I need some Hallmark Christmas movie marathons. Yeah. It's time. My goodness, I did this in October. I was like sick of it. I actually watched this movie with my wife called Christmas at the Smokies. I almost showed this picture, but there's a guy, if you go home, I want you to, if you get on Netflix, it's on Netflix, go watch Christmas or Christmas in the Smokies. The actor on there at one point in the movie looks incredibly like Vince from Northway. I almost put the picture up, but I didn't have time to cross it with Vince. And so if you want to, go look at it, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's Vince. I didn't know that he doubled. So I want you to notice something about, this tweet, right? So it has, go back just one more, sorry. It has 687 retweets and 1,625. Now, for you people on Twitter, you know that a person that has 1,900 followers, that's a pretty good number. Right? And then go to the next slide. This is the like landscape of which I like impacted the world with this tweet. Was it reached 112,000 people? This is the stupidest thing in the world. It's this dumb tweet. And so it's funny though, and this is the reason why I bring this up. It's funny is that, you know, when you look at that, that would be like a tweet you would pin. Right? You would say, this is like my chief tweet, the one that made me famous, all the things. Can I just tell you something real about this tweet? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. So, sometimes I think like, oh man, if I just got all of these tweets and I got all these retweets and these likes, it's like people would really, really like me. Dude, people have thus forgotten about that tweet. They have thus forgotten about that tweet. And so there's things that we think we do, especially in modern culture, that if we get to this point in some way, shape, or form, we think that it matters or that we've made it. Here's a handful of people that is true of. So if you go to that next slide, if you guys know anything about this, this was a thing that exists once. Does anybody remember what this is? The Harlem Shake. The Harlem Shake lasted about 6 months. Right? And then all of a sudden, it was dead, all right? So it was like anything that everyone wanted to do, right? Go to this next slide. Daniel with the Vans, right? Daniel with the Vans. I mean, he probably lasted about as long as the Harlem Shake did, right? So it was about 6 months or so, and they tried to put about these series of videos, and Daniel with the Vans. Next one. David after the dentist, all right? David after the dentist. This is a hilarious video, by the way, and it's so funny. That guy's so much older now, and this is my all-time favorite one, and everyone will remember. Oh, yes. What I love about Rebecca Black is that she went to be she went to be famous, and she went to be like known, but little did she know that she'd actually be infamous, and that so much it would turn out to be the most unliked, not unlike, but thumbs down video on the internet. Do you guys know that? It's the most disliked video on the internet. And it's so funny, it's like she came out with another video. Does anybody know what it was called? Saturday. Didn't do any better. Didn't do any better. So what's so funny is that there's so much stuff that we do. There's so much stuff that we do in these days. I'm still blown away that I have four people in this room who follow the Exodus Movie Facts account. It just followed it. Wait till you get home. I'm not done yet. So I think it's so funny is that we think that if we get viral, it will matter, right? But you might think that, but here's the reality. There's things that we do in our lives today that they're just going to run out at some point. Or you'll end up being Rebecca Black and nobody will like you for the rest of your life. I'm sorry to say, but like she carries a lot of baggage with her wherever she goes. The video's awful. It's not great, okay? And we can all admit that. That's why it's the most unliked video on YouTube. And so there's things that we do and the things that we think will matter, but in the end, really don't matter. What I think is interesting sometimes is as teenagers and as high school students, there's things that you feel like you need to be a part of because you think it will matter, right? So I'm sure that there's some of you who were scrolling through your friend's Snapchat's feeds late last night, and you saw some things that they were doing that you might be thinking, wow, I really missed out, all right? Let me just tell you, you didn't miss out on anything. Think about what you've experienced this weekend and what your friends experienced last Saturday night, and tell me if they pale in comparison. Tell me if they pale in comparison. I mean, I want you to imagine for a second if you were scrolling through your Snapchat feed and you saw me holding up Jeremy Collins from Bakerstown's feet while he's doing a keg stand, and we're like 30 and 35, you'd be like, oh my gosh, ew, right? It's just like, you look at it because it's older, but like we're like a bunch of old men trying to do keg stands, and it's just like, oh, it's kind of like ugly to look at because you're like, oh, that... They're a little try hard right now, so you need to calm down a little bit, right? There are things that we think, that you guys think, that matter in this life. They really don't matter. They really don't matter. I also find it very interesting that when people, now I know the phrase YOLO is pretty dead. So what's the, like, lit? Is lit the current? Lit, okay. What I find interesting is about your classmates and your fellow teenager peers is that when they use that kind of language, it's never to talk about doing actual things that matter, right? You don't have your friends send you a text, a group chat text and say, dude, let's get lit tonight and go serve homeless people down in the north side of Pittsburgh. Let's go get crunk and go make Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. Nobody's saying those sorts of things. But guess what, guys? You can live a life with Jesus, a life that matters. When you guys go back to your schools, you can stand up for the injustices that you see. You can speak out against them. And you have so many people here who care for you that they'll stand alongside of you. You're not missing out on all those things that you see your friends doing. They're missing out on a beautiful relationship with the one who loved them so much and who died for them. They're missing out. But you have a chance to bring them in. And so as I close here, I want you to know that there's ways for you guys to connect as you leave this place. And you have a community of people around you that care about you so deeply. You have friends and you have adult leaders, I'll get to them in a second, that care, that want you to be in their life, that want you to stand with them, and they want to stand with you. And I've said this before to my students, like what we do is weird. Youth pastors, what we do is weird. We literally open up our doors and we say, hey, this thing's happening at this time, and you show up. That's it. It's literally what we do. Is we open up the doors and you guys show up. If you don't show up, we don't open up our door. I mean, we'll probably keep the doors open for a while. But here's the deal. The reason why what we also do is weird is because what other venue do you have in your life to share with people about what's going on in your own heart. What other venue do you have in your life where you can talk real about the struggles you have and the things you're going through and the doubts you're wrestling with? What other venue do you have that you have adult leaders and fellow peers to be alongside of you? You do not, unless you're like getting counsel from one single person. This is a community of people that want to gather around you, want to care for you, because they want to push you towards the God who loves you so much, who died for you and has a purpose and a plan for your life. And in that community are adult leaders. Some of them are full-time staff people. Some of them are part-time staff people. And some of them, for some crazy reason, decided to come here this weekend to be with you. If you are an adult leader, whether you're full-time staff, whether you're part-time staff, whether you're a volunteer that's given your time this weekend, what I want you to do right now is stand up. Just stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Give them a big round of applause. These people, see, the work I'm doing here, it's good, okay? The work I'm doing here is good. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to be with our students at New Community Church, but these are the people who are going to stay with you through thick and thin. These are your 3 a.m. friends. These are the people that you could turn to when things get dark, that they'll come and pick you up from your broken house with your broken heart and take you out to Sheetz at 4 a.m. in the morning and pay for the food that you buy. That's the kind of people these people are. Totally try that out. Totally try that out. I'm sure they have a budget. But to have these kind of people in your life, to have these kind of people in your life changes your life. Because these are the kinds of people who are actively the hands and feet of Jesus day in and day out. I can come up here and I can teach and you guys can be moved, but they're doing the really hard work of doing the work after this weekend is over, that you can turn to them and for not only this year but years to come is to look back and to say that that person changed my life. I know there's a lot of high school leaders in here and a lot of college people, and the one reason, this never fails, that the reason why they're in this room is because they once had somebody in their life pour into them. They once had somebody in their life who poured into them. And so remember that as you continue to move on in your life, you can be that somebody that was once there for you. And last but not least, there's a lot of different messages coming across your social media feeds and the gossip that happens and amongst your friends. But there's one place that I want to encourage you all to go to find the truth, and that is in God's Word. So I want you to imagine true north. And true north is the way we would walk straight in order to get to north. And anytime we would divert either west or southwest or northeast or northwest, we're getting off our true north. And we're starting to believe things that aren't necessarily what God has said. But if you want to get back in the direction of walking in true north, you got to go to God's Word. You got to dive into it. And I know it's really hard to try to find a place to start. But your leaders will help you with that. And here's my 5 tips for successfully reading the Bible. Pick it up. Solid start. Open it. Read it. Highlight. Ask questions. Pick it up. Open it. Once you get past those first two, it's a breeze. Read it. Highlight, you can write in your Bible, it's fine. All right, see, look at this guy. This guy's got, it's got some stuff in it, okay? It's fine, it's not sacrilegious, okay? And then I want you to find your leader and be like, what the crap does this mean? And that's the way that I learned how to read the Bible. And when I was uncertain about who I was, I went back to God's truth and he told me that you are a child of God, you are an heir of the throne, you're co-heir with Christ, and you are precious in his sight. And so go to God's Word. Your leaders will help you along that way. If there's a Bible study happening at your church and you're not in it, get in it. Find God's Word. Cling to him and he will speak to you. And so with that, I say to you all, go. Go and live a life with Jesus, because a life with Jesus matters. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you so much for this weekend, for all the things that you've done, and that your name is the name above every name in this room, every leader, even me as the speaker, that you will be there with them, that you promise that you will be with them to the very end of the age. So go, Lord, and remind them as they go that you are with them every step of the way, and that they have leaders and a community around them that want to be there with them, to help them, all to point to you and your purpose for their life. Thank you, Lord, for this weekend and everything that you've done. I praise you and thank you through Jesus Christ our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for listening to audio recorded at Laurelville 2017. Feel free to share this audio, but please do not alter the content in any way. Laurelville is a ministry of the Pittsburgh Kids Foundation. For more information, visit us online at pittsburghkidsfoundation.org.